again. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Appreciate the great turnout, too, for the abortion rally here in Goshen on the courthouse lawn. There was, six or eight of us from our church that went, and it was very peaceful and decent and good, and I really, really appreciated that, and it was good to be there with a group of you. That's good stuff. 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we will look at two parts of this that I want to make us aware of. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." Dear Lord, this is the reading of your word. It is your holy word, inspired. It is true. It is still true today. It is who you are. It tells us who you are. And so we pray for your word now to do its divine, inspired work in our hearts. Give me words and the heart to speak your word, to teach it, and to proclaim your message. Lord, work in all of our hearts. This is your divine word and will. In Jesus' name, amen. Two parts, really, today. This first section and then a second section of more of a practical nature. In this first section, I want us to see very clearly, without exception, in verses 6, 7, and 8, that what is happening here is rejection of God. Very clearly. You see that? They have rejected me, God says. So he says, obey their voice in all that they say to you. They have not rejected you. They have rejected me. Verse 7. So everything we're going to look at right here in these first 8 verses is rejection of God. And so what they were rejecting in him, how they were doing it, is that they wanted a king to judge and protect them like the other nations. They were under this rulership, this guidance of God through the judges, through Samuel. It was a man of God. It was a religious system. Everything was through him and other judges. They didn't like that way, that system. They were now wanting to change systems and go to a king, and that would happen. But in doing so, in going from the man, the judge, Samuel, and that system of governance over them, wanting to shift to the world's type of government, they rejected God. This is called rejecting God. Nothing short of that. This is called rejecting God. They didn't say, "We don't want God anymore." They didn't say, we don't believe in God anymore. They didn't say, tear down the tabernacle or throw away the ark or we want Islam or we want... They didn't say anything like that. It wasn't anything to do with that. This was, we don't want a judge, God working through a judge. We want a king to make the decisions, to rule, to protect. So understand that they were changing their dependence. They were going to depend on, trust in the king and a different system of governance from a person, a judge, and God speaking through that system. It was a change of style, a change of system, a change of depending. Who do you depend on? Now, that's an interesting thing, particularly in light of James 4:4. James 4:4 very, very clearly says it, we should know that friendship with the world is to be an enemy of God. And they're very clearly saying we don't want a judge, a personal kind of judgeship. We want a king like the other nations. And so James says this is to become an enemy of God. And Samuel says this is rejection of God. This is rejection of God. You want to depend on a king to rule, to judge, to protect you, that system. And people would say, you might push back and say, well, can't God work through a king? Oh, I would say, yeah, I absolutely could. Except God says, you're rejecting me. So who am I to argue with God? They are making a decision, a big move here of dependence to trust a king. They want a king, and they are rejecting God by doing so. But note very clearly, they never said, we don't believe in God. It was their actions, their choices, their dependence, where their heart was leaning. So, interesting, rejecting God without saying, I don't want God. They wanted good judgments. Apparently felt like it couldn't happen through the religious system, the judgeship, protection. It's interesting that it would seem like they had a legitimate concern. It says here in the first few verses, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3, Samuel is getting ready to pass this judgeship on to his sons Joel and Abijah. And it says, yet his sons did not walk in his ways but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Now we could talk all morning about this. But it seems like they had a legitimate concern. They didn't say, I don't want God. And here's Samuel, who by every stretch of the imagination has been a faithful, good judge over them, a leader over them. And he's getting ready to pass it on to two well-known sons who are not good leaders of God's household. They pervert justice and take bribes. And so I would look at that and go, well, that is a concern. I mean, if I'm looking at Samuel aging and I see his two sons and they are corrupt coming up, that's a concern. That's a concern. And so they choose to have a king, and in so doing, reject God. I couldn't help in my mind but to think of how many people I know and have known through the years who say, I no longer go to church because I had a bad experience. There was a pastor who ran off with the piano player. There was an elder who did this. There was this in the church. Or there was this. And the church is made up of people, and people are crazy. So I believe in God, but I don't go to church anymore. And I would say, according to this scripture, they're rejecting God. Because the church, the local church, is the assembly of the saints. It is God's institution. You don't have a right or a opportunity to change it and to go, I will have my belief without God's system, God's church. But it happens all the time. You probably know some of these people. You don't have to say, I don't believe in God, to reject Him. You just need to reject His institution and His system, His leadership and His governance, to reject Him. Practically speaking, they've rejected them. So as I look at this, I said, well, the people never said they didn't want God. They had a legitimate concern. Here were two corrupt, I'll call it church people, leadership, priests, judges coming up, waiting in the wings. And they were making a decision to go from a religious governance, so to speak, to a government, a political government. If you would, turn to chapter 12, same book, 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I'll make my first big point that is on the sign out front. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 19. And this is Samuel's kind of like his last State of the Union address before he won't be judging any longer. He knows he's getting old, and so he gathers the people around him, gives them a big State of the Union address. It's not like he's dying, but he knows he's nearing the end. And so this is what he has to say. He tells the people, you have sinned greatly. You have done wickedly in the sight of God in asking for yourselves a king. That's verse 17. So verse 18, Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord. And this is what he said, verse 19. All the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You've done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. God is gracious. Wow, God is gracious. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for Himself. Moreover, as for me, far, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. I'm not going to stop praying for you, and I'm not going to stop teaching you. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. If you'll still do wickedly, you'll be swept away, both you and your king. So Samuel convinces them, with God does with His thunder, that they have done evil. They have, in fact, rejected the Lord, but the Lord hasn't rejected them. And so the point is in this passage that the system is not to blame. Sin is to blame. They wanted to change systems from a judge to a king. And he says, you've rejected God, and that's wicked. That's great wickedness. But serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your sin. It is not the system that's the answer. It is sin. It is sin. And you can still walk with the Lord if you'll repent and turn back to Him with all your heart. There is going to be a king. But the very last verse of that passage says it so clearly. If you still do wickedly, you will be swept away, you and your king. Your king will not protect you. Your new system will not protect you. If you do wickedly, I will cast you away. So it is not the system. As we look across our land, our nation today, we don't have a government the style that they had. There are many styles of government. And to some degree, it really doesn't matter. If God's people turn from their sin, He will bless them. That's the bottom line. I don't want a dictatorship. I don't want socialism or communism or an oligarchy or a monarchy. I don't want any of this. But at the end of the day, what moves God is sin or repentance from it. The trouble with our nation today is not our style of government. It is sin. Not only in our government, but in God's people. We must repent and turn from our sin. And God can oversee and override anything government does or has in mind for us. The answer is not a different system. It is God's church, His people, called by His name, humbling themselves, turning from their sin, turning to God, and praying for forgiveness. And if we did that, if we all pulled together, now we're not, but if we did, if those of us that are truly His did, we have the power in God to change things. So many of our churches are capitulating to culture, calling sin good. We're not repenting at all. We're changing. We're compromising to culture. But the answer isn't the system. The blame isn't the system. The blame is sin. And so you can change systems all you want, God says. But if you don't change your sin, I will come in and you won't be happy with it. That's my first main point. And our system and our government and our culture are not God's people. We are. And so we need to humble ourselves and repent and see what power lies within the church. Not compromise with culture. Turn from our sin. So that's my first point, point one. I wanted you to see clearly how they're rejecting God. Point number two is how Samuel feels the rejection. Samuel himself feels this rejection. All this is going on, and Samuel's heart must have been broken. It says here in verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel. When they said, give us a king. And Samuel prayed, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice in all they do, for they have not rejected you. I mean, he must have felt rejected. Here he's been a faithful leader over them. And they're saying, yeah, we know you're getting old, so we're moving away from you and your family and everything here. And he must have felt the rejection himself, because God says, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. It displeased him. He was troubled. Have you ever felt that way? You ever talk to somebody about the Lord and the goodness of the Lord and everything He wants to do, and they just reject you? And maybe you've even made the statement, look, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting God. We need to remember that. When we proclaim the Word of God, the truth, the hope, the beauty of our God that we know, and people go, get away from me with your silly Christianity and all that. That's for weak people. That hurts. That hurts. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting God. We have people in our own families. We pray for them. Sometimes they don't come around us as much as we'd like them to, but they know we're Christians. We've got a different viewpoint. It hurts. It hurts. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. We need to remember that. Those are great verses for us in any relationship. Maybe it's a husband and wife relationship. One's a believer and one's not. They're rejecting God, not you. For Israel, as for so many today, it says very clearly here that this is just the next step for Israel after leaving Egypt and never really leaving their gods. Look at the first 8 verses again. Verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 8, according to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you, Samuel. They are forsaking you now in this long line, this long progression since the day they came out of Egypt. They never really left their gods of their culture and of their world. They never really put them away. They've always had this duplicity of having their gods and their way to always lean on and fall back on and to call on the name of the Lord at the same time. They've never really given themselves to me with their whole heart. And so, Samuel, they're just doing the same thing to you. They're rejecting you now, going on to a king. But really, they're rejecting me, and they've been doing it since they came out of Egypt because their heart was never really fully committed. That's what he says here in chapter 7, verse 3. Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth and the Baal. And direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only, and He'll deliver you. I mean, this is what the case was. They always had one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And he says, this doesn't surprise God. This is who you've been since I brought you out of Egypt. You've always had one foot in the world and one foot in church. And so, Samuel, you're feeling this great hurt. Like they have just totally rejected you, but they're just rejecting me again. And now instead of their Baals and their Ashtaroths and the gods of Egypt that they've always had in their house in the quiet little rooms, now they're just rejecting my system and they want a government. They're rejecting God's governance and they want a king like the world's. That's just a natural progression. They always have one foot in the world and one foot in church. What a powerful lesson for me and you. And we didn't ask for America to be formed like it's formed, have a governance that it has. It was there when I was born, maybe you too, unless you're a lot older than me. So we've grown up with a governing body of elected officials in our government. And we have learned to depend on them for sound judgments and protection. And now we are believers and we are asked to rise above that and to see them for what they are and to depend truly on God. To take our one foot out of the world and put it solely on God. That's hard. That's hard for many of us who were raised in an America years ago where we were much more conservative, much more God-oriented in some ways. And now we watch them throwing God out of government, life, public, everything, with both hands shoveling God out. It's very difficult for those raised in an America of yesteryear to the America of today. But it's an opportunity for you and I to take the next step up of getting our foot out of the world and both feet, heart and soul, into the Lord. We certainly don't want to reject Him by depending on the system of government we have, by depending on their judgments, on their protection. At the end of the day, the United States of America have the most powerful army in the world. And it's a sneeze compared to God's power. He will bring it down if He wants. We are foolish to think anything other than that. Our dependence, the judgments of life, must come from God and His Word. It cannot come from our government. It cannot. And all the more as you see the day approaching and you see our government throwing God and Christianity out, tearing down the monuments of God and Christianity, changing everything we were founded on, all the more our dependence has to be. We have to examine ourselves. Am I totally dependent on trusting the judgments of God through His Word, knowing He is my protector? He is my protector. I will not leave this planet 1 second before He says it's time for me to go. We must take this opportunity to clean our heart and our soul of the dependence on them, on the world. It's not the system that saves us. It's not the American way that saves us. It's not the American might, greatest nation on earth, that saves us. It is God. And we of all people, His people, need to know that. We need to know that. I think it's an interesting thing that happens. In verses 19, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19, God tells them, you need to warn them, verse 9, warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. So this next section, verses 10 through 18, are a stern, stark warning. In verse 19, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, no, there will be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, make decisions for our life, and go out before us and fight our battles, protect us. When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey their voice and make them a king. Doesn't that ring a bell to Romans chapter 1 to you? And God gave them over to the desires, to their passions, to their thoughts and intents of their heart. God gave them over and said, hey, okay, here you go. Obey their voice, Samuel. Let them have it. Let them have their way. I've warned them. You painted the picture. They've rejected me. Not verbally. No, no. Dependence and trust and shifting the system. Let them have their way, Samuel. And God gave them over to the passions of their heart, the desires, the things they knew were wrong or evil. They knew they deserved to die. They not only did them, but they celebrate them, much as we celebrate in America today, June, month of sexual immorality. We now celebrate it, knowing it deserves death. And God gave them over. Go ahead, Samuel. Give them a king. Give them a king. Quite an interesting day we live in, isn't it? As we do the same exact things. things we know deserve death. Things we know, the Bible says, this type of person will never enter the kingdom of heaven. They are bound for an eternal hell. Our country and now many of our churches celebrate Gay Pride Month, sexual immorality. And I would say the assault on our children. If God warned his people, if Jesus said in the New Testament, if you harm one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you thrown in the deepest part of the lake. If that's true, and we are now celebrating the mutilation, the destruction of our children across this land, we're in dire trouble. Not from the King, from the King of Kings. We're sitting in a bad place as our earthly king promotes what the King of Kings hates, despises. Says it's better, it would be better for you if I hung a millstone around your neck and threw you in the deepest part of the lake. And that is my second half. My next point is the assault on our children. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you." It's not just Saul, this is the ways of a king. "He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots." Those are his sons. "He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he'll take your fields too." So understand, they've rejected God, and this is a dire warning. This is the way of a king. "He will take your sons and your daughters. And when he marches off to war, your sons will be out in front. They will be the casualties, the fatalities that they have to get through to get to the king. He's going to take them out of your home and form an army and a government system, and your kids are going to leave your home. They're going to go to work for the king instead of staying home and helping you tend the family farm and the ground and protect your family, your wife. He's going to take them, a draft. And they're going to go serve him. They're his now. They're going to work for him now. They're going to build his war instruments. They're going to work on his chariots. They're going to work on his fields. And your daughters, they're leaving your home too. They're going to be his cooks and his perfumers. This is a dire warning to them. He is taking your kids. By the thousands and the fifties, there will be commanders of thousands and fifties. Your kids are going off to the king. And they said, "That's okay. We want a king." This is my warning to you. Your kids for a king. You're trading your kids for a king. Your kids for government. It's okay. It's It's okay. Yeah, this is what happened. It's exactly what happened. And it's exactly what's happening today. It's got to be interesting psychologically, soulfully, spiritually. It just boggles my mind to look inside myself. And I'm asking the same question about American culture today. What so possesses an adult human being to sacrifice your kids to the government for their judgments and their protection? There is no cost then beyond your children. And in this agrarian society, they needed their kids at home. If there was an army, they would just send out word, and yes, everybody would, that they would go to war, but until then, the kids were home, caring for the home and the parents and the fields. And if you give up your kids to government, there is nothing left in my mind. I don't know what else you have to give. And this is the way of a king. This is the way of government. They will own the kids. And they said, that's okay. That's okay. Just rule us and protect us. And you can have our kids. And it's happening today. It's happening today. More and more and more, the way of the king is happening in America. We are sacrificing our kids to the king, to government. I'm surprised as I read articles and listen to not just Christian speakers, but conservative who are using words like Moloch lives. We are sacrificing our kids to Moloch today. There's an assault on our children in the land. It's unimaginable. For social justice and security, fear is an all-powerful tool to turn us away from God and to government and to the world. We are trading government for God and our children. Francis Schaeffer, I've reading some of his quotes and some of his things, and he made this observation in the 1900s. The basic problem of Christians in this country in the last 80 years or so in regard to society, in regard to government, is that they have seen things in bits and pieces instead of totals. The basic problem with Christian people in regard to government is we just tend to look at bits and pieces instead of totals, the big picture. Now, these words are incredibly true. So let me just diagram it for you this way. Because we in this country are sacrificing our children to government and to Moloch today. Today, in huge numbers. I talked to you last week about abortion and the new Dobbs decision, the Roe versus Wade. It just moves it from federal. And maybe we save 900 unborn children a day. 900 a day. So that means that's a third. So there's 2,700 unborn babies being sacrificed a day to government, to the sinful hearts of people. So let's look at that. Let's do it this way. Here's abortion here. 2020, 2021, the lockdowns of society, the closing of schools. We sacrificed our kids' education, their sanity. The suicide rates skyrocketed through that. We know the depression among youth from that. Nations are now declaring the lockdowns an absolute, utter disaster, not only in preventing a virus of some sort, but of mental destruction to our children and many a suicidal thing. So the lockdowns were totally destructive to our kids, who had almost a nil statistic of death from their virus. We have an open border, open southern border in Mexico, where if not hundreds of thousands, millions of illegal aliens pour across daily and weekly. And that's just one, that was one side of it. The other side of it is with them come drugs, untold numbers and amounts of drugs. We know that. Fentanyl going into primarily our youth community and culture. The southern border is child traffickers. Child traffickers. They are finding them, stopping them. Child trafficking, drugs, and the border is just, our government is just saying, open the door, let them in, and they are coming in. You and I aren't suffering for it. Maybe we'll pay for it in our taxes someday. But the drugs coming across our borders, going into our high schools and younger ages, the child trafficking they have discovered is unbelievable. But maybe that subject doesn't really interest you or concern you. We live here in Indiana, don't we? Then we had the shot, which now they want to give to 5 to 11-year-olds who have a almost zero, none statistic of danger from any of this. Over 13, 14 nations have now just ceased, said stop, no more. We've seen injuries and death of our children from this. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Not America. We're you go get that 5-year-old the shot right now. And if you don't know any of these statistics, you ask the senator from Illinois whose 17-year-old daughter went to sleep and never woke up days after putting on Facebook, I just got my second shot. I'm so happy. Death by natural causes. We don't know. Natural causes. Healthy 17-year-old, clean. Caleb Swanigan, Purdue University, 25-year-old, primetime athlete. The same exact story. Nothing found in his system. Death. Natural causes. This is happening all over. You're just not hearing about it. You are not hearing about it. It's daily. A healthy high school, college, middle schooler goes to sleep not to wake up days and weeks after they're shot. They're not telling you. Unless you look for it, you won't find it. But I could give you hundreds, if not thousands of articles. But maybe that doesn't concern you. You're fine with all that. You don't have kids in the home anyway. How about public schools bypassing parents to get to children, to promote transgenderism, to give them drugs, to begin the transgendering policy, like in California today? That's exactly what happens. Public school system, you don't have to tell the parents anymore. You just send them to the clinic. You work with them psychologically because they really want to be another gender. Or so they think. Oh yeah, the suicide rate in the transgender community wavers somewhere, depending on who you're talking to, between 40 and 50%. Attempt suicide or achieve it. And they want to help your kids get there. It's an assault on our kids. Maybe you've heard the Disney spokesperson, lady, that just came out and said, yes, we are targeting the children. Every new movie will have homosexuality, transgender, and it is a concerted effort for us to reach the youth of our country with this message. It's public. You can listen to her. I'm not lying. Disney. So Florida, Governor DeSantis is waging war on Disney. You don't need to do that. You don't need to teach this in the public schools. Did you hear the parent? Did you see the video? The parent reading, grabbing a book from their library in Florida, a public school, and began to read the book, and it's X-rated, and they stopped him, told him to stop, unplug the sound. This is going out on YouTube to the community. You can't read that stuff to the community. We'll get in trouble. And he says, you're giving it to our kids in the public library, in our school library, but I can't read it to you at the school board meeting because it'll go out on YouTube? They turned his microphone off. There's an assault on children. Disney has openly said, we are targeting the children with our message. Government supports every drop of this. Government supports every drop of this. Maybe that doesn't concern you. Mark has a picture I'd like you to see. Here's a picture of our government. Maybe you haven't seen this. It's actually two men. On the left is Rachel Levine, the Assistant Secretary of Health in our country. He, now she, began as a pediatrician and then became the health secretary minister of Pennsylvania and has now been promoted to our nation's government by our current administration and has just recently received an honors for the work of Dr. Levine there on the left. Was married to a female and had two children, but is now Rachel Levine, the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services over America. I don't know who that guy is on the right. I have no idea who is there. There's two men there. See the caption. America's representatives at the French ambassador's residence this week. They represented America to the French ambassador. This is America's representative, the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services.
The other one is the deputy director of nuclear waste disposal.
The one on the right is a deputy director of nuclear waste disposal in America. So these are America's representatives to the French ambassador this last week. This person posts, the world is laughing at us. But Dr. Levine there on the left was awarded some of the highest honors for a government person. This is the administration leading our government right now. And if you think anything I have said to you is wrong, I beg to differ. These are all statistical. I can give you statistics. I can give you articles. Now, the point being, as Francis Schaeffer said, the Christian church tends to look at, oh, I don't care about that border crisis. I live in Indiana. I don't care about this or this or this. But if you put these together, the number of deaths, depression, suicide, drug overdoses, sex trafficking of children in our country. This number's off the charts. It would take us a week to try and gather this information. And I'm telling you, they are promoting it. Look at it. They are promoting the destruction. There is an assault on the children of our nation. And I get one amen. I get one amen.
They should know last Sunday when we left this church, there were three guys in dresses walking right down that sidewalk on the other side of the street.
Three guys in dresses walking down our sidewalk. In Goshen, Indiana. Right outside our door. Goshen, Indiana. Listen to me. There's an assault on our children. We are sacrificing our children to Moloch, trusting and depending on our government instead of God and His Word. And He tells us the things, those things that you know deserve death, you not only do them, you celebrate them. You send them to the French embassy to represent the United States of America. And I'm telling you that you and I need to get our heads out of it and start opening our eyes to what is going on in our country. We're sacrificing our children to Moloch in the name of the United States government. We have the power as the church to bind together. Listen, read your Bible. Talk, support. Because they are coming at us from all these different directions, and our kids are suffering tremendously. Spend an hour on TikTok. If you're not appalled, we have gone to sleep at the wheel and our dependence has shifted from God to government. And we're not saying, I don't believe in God no more. I don't go to church. I do. And God says, you've rejected me. I see that rainbow flag outside your church window. I see what you're supporting and promoting. You know it deserves death, and yet you not only do it, but you celebrate and encourage those who do. And you've rejected me. And there's an assault on our children. And the church, half the church supports it, and the other church sits with their hands tucked quietly under them and their eyes closed and goes, well, that one, I pray about that one sometimes, but those don't really, I don't know, somebody, they'll take care of it, whoever they is. Because you saw in the news the other day where Representative Roy and a committee, government committee, proposed to the government oversight committee that child sex traffickers and people introducing children to child should have a minimum sentence. Let's up the minimum sentence for child sex traffickers to 15 years in prison. Minimum sentence, 15 years in prison. They voted it down. Democratic-led committee voted it down. No, we can't do that. That's too harsh. Is that right? Is that how you feel if your son or daughter was taken into sex trafficking? Do you want 15 years for that person? Or would you want 115 years? Our government voted it down. That's too difficult. Of course they do. I mean, if they don't know their gender till they're five, if the parents don't know any better, of course they do. Of course they know better. They are the God now. So we, the church, have to decide who is our God. This is the way of the King. This is the way of the King. He will take your children and put them out in front of His chariots going to war. Your daughters, and they'll live at His house now, bake His bread and make His perfumes. But don't worry. He'll rule over you and protect you. Great. That's what we want. It's time to wake up in America. Church. Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. God gave them over. God gave them over to the passions and desires of their evil, sinful, immoral, filthy, wicked hearts. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen here. Some think it already has. Because the church can't think anymore. The church can't process. The church can sing about God, but we don't know how to relate and talk to Him and let His living Spirit lead us. We're too afraid. We want government to do all the thinking for us. Protect us. But the answer isn't the system, it's the sin. It's sin that we have to deal with. And they don't have any anymore. There is no sin out there anymore. But we know there is. So it's going to be up to us to deal with sin. To deal with sin. If we want any change, anything to happen, we've got to start dealing with sin in our own lives. That's what God cares about. That's how you reject God, by not. By turning and depending and trusting on government, not God. Letting their judgments rule. In a large way, America's rejected God. The American church has rejected God. Not us. Not us. No. It's not going to happen. You can throw me out of here before we turn that way. We are not rejecting God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. It's true. Everything you say is true. We give our whole heart to you and pray you'll convict us of our sin. Convict us of our double-mindedness. We're unstable in all our ways. Oh, isn't that America? Lord, forgive us, I pray. Convict this church. This is all we can control, is those here with us today. We are responsible for ourselves, for our church, Lord. Convict us of our double-mindedness that we can humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked way and pray. Pray for forgiveness. Lord, use this little church. Use us. If you use this little church, Lord, you get the glory because we are small. And if there's any might here, it's from you. So use us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.